Ayo, that is almost too wonderful to be true, but I still have a feeling that it is unjust to blame the whole of posterity for the sin of the original souls which fell. Azeros answered, patient as always, choosing his words with care. Ayo, if you have a united family and one of its members commits a crime or defrauds, does not the whole family unite to restore the family honor? Each member is an individual, but there is something greater than the individual, the family of which he forms a part. Without the sinner, the family is less than it might have been. Even though the law may punish the culprit, the family usually wishes to make good the loss. And are not all souls members of the family of God? Can they be a perfect unity as long as one remains outside? And if we postulate that the progress and prosperity of the whole family depends upon that unity, then we can see how each soul which is aware of its position would be ready to make the necessary sacrifice. Ayo, it is essential to grasp this truth of the unity of humanity if you would find any sense or justice in what God is doing with his creation. Without it, all is unjust, cruel, meaningless. If you cling to the notion that a soul commences its existence at human birth, it is just as bad as supposing that any soul which refuses Christian doctrine is doomed on Judgment Day. Survival presupposes pre-existence. You cannot have the brotherhood of man for which you long without accepting its implications. Ayo, it is going to be very difficult to bring this idea home to people, Ayo said, soberly regarding my companion. Zeros nodded. Ayo, it would be impossible for you to accomplish alone. But remember, what you are about to do is part of a resurgent movement, set in motion by powers not of this world. The whole world of men and women is crying out for spiritual understanding. They have freed themselves largely from the rigid doctrines of their various religions, but there is nothing to take their place. We have to play our part in supplying a new understanding. The upsurge is already in progress. It is part of the preparation for the future. Ayo, but, Ayo put in, Ayo, I have noticed that there is an insidious implication in modern thought that man is an animal in origin, having evolved through mutation into an intelligent being. You can find that being implied in radio talks, in school teaching, in technical books, even in some churches. The finest thinkers in our time accept it. How are we going to combat that? Ayo, that is very true. But it is a passing phase. It is the swing of the pendulum from the orthodox ideas of past ages, where it was thought that man was descended from one man and one woman. Science has much new knowledge along biological and anthropological lines, and has interpreted that knowledge in the only way possible to intellectual understanding. But already such thinking is meeting with difficulties. Science, on the higher levels of research, is finding itself lost in conjecture, for its dimensional understanding is merging into the undimensional, so that all its findings have to be reconsidered. Scientists are finding that the cosmos knows not the meaning of beginnings and endings, and they are pondering how man himself, the cream of creation as far as they know, can have a beginning or an ending. Ayo, the key to all this is the knowledge that the cosmic Christ is working through the minds of men the world over, bringing to them a new revelation which is slowly filtering through into their consciousness. The time is coming when there can be no arrogant assertion that one particular faith or religion is true, and all the others false. It is the age-old esoteric Christianity coming back into focus, with all that implies. Ayo, you mean that something new to our experience is occurring? Ayo put in, as I tried to set our own moment in time, into this new advent. Ayo, yes indeed, Ayo replied Zeros with enthusiasm. Ayo, it is something very new. Quite novel to what mankind has known in the past. The might of the Creator is pressing through the cosmic Christ into the minds of men and women the world over. Every nation, every tiny village, every individual, is responding to it in many various ways, according to their interpretation of what it means. To some it means new discovery, to others a wider appreciation of how the other half of the world lives. Yet again others interpret it as a need for some ideology. They glimpse the truth, but for them the vision is distorted, and they interpret it in terms of self and perhaps express it through domination. It may seem strange to you that some of the ideas expressed through totalitarian regimes, often cruelly and despotically, owe their inception to the influence of God. It is not his fault that they are misinterpreted, for he has to pour out his Spirit upon humanity, that is the only way in which they can be redeemed, from within themselves. But the wind has to be tempered to the shorn lamb, otherwise man would be destroyed. It is a long slow business, but now it can be speeded up, as is evidenced by the increasing tempo of your lives. Ayo, this invasion by Spirit stimulates both good and evil in the mind of man. You cannot inspire one without the other. Evil flocculence, that is to say the distortion of the elements of the earth, has long been hidden within its chemical nature. It was latent in tradition, in inhibition, it was dormant in the subconscious, but now the time has come to release this wrongful flocculence into manifestation so that it might be recognized for what it is and eliminated. Some parts of the earth were saturated with it and no enlightenment could be hoped for while it was able to exert a contrary influence upon mankind. It had to be disinterred, so it is that it has been stirred into violent eruption during the past 50 years or so, with all the sad results you know. There is meaning in all that occurs, the divine goodness in creation working always to defeat the ends of injustice. Hey, how true that was, I thought, though one could never prove it as if it were an equation. It is clear that the principles upon which human reasoning is based will have to be radically changed before we can begin to assimilate the truth. At present one has to absorb truth through an inner recognition of verities, yet undeniably that conviction is a powerful one. Ayo, when you really begin to understand divine principles, misunderstanding and strife will cease. At first strife will be lifted from the material to the mental plane, a war of words instead of weapons, that is already happening. Your world is changing so rapidly that none could postulate the conditions of life even a decade hence. Already your scientists know a great deal, often much more than they are prepared to admit, even to themselves. They are getting to the heart of problems of weight and density and are finding their conclusions most disturbing. Very soon they will be able to suggest means of overcoming gravity. Metaphysics will emerge as a new science. Already its boundaries with physics are melting away. But for the same direct inspiration is needed to overcome the resistance which rational understanding offers. The very word rational will have to be stepped up in meaning. No scientific experiment or discovery can ever be really or fully successful where it is not in tune with a desire for goodness. Your knowledge of atomic energy could have done nothing but benefit humanity to untold lengths had it not been first directed to destruction. A growing recognition of this strange intervention into human affairs must cause an eventual change of heart in every race and every individual whose soul is awake. It is because the mind of man, of humanity, has reached a stage in its development, in its unveiling to a knowledge of what it really is, that the cosmic Christ can and must take over the reins of government through direct inspiration. You cannot hope to build a new world along purely material and scientific lines. The evil latent in mankind will always operate to defeat such altruistic ideas. The animal nature in man must first be eliminated. The present trend suggests men as saying, "Ayo, you tell us we are evolving from animals, well let us have our animal enjoyment, we like it." Ay, can you not see how such an outlook must denigrate any hope for future peace? Such perverse thinking must soon reduce a community to the lowest ebb. Ayo, but of course that cannot be. All is under direction and control. For despite the growth of so-called rational thought, it has not gained hold of the majority of people and will not do so. If you recall that you are living dual lives, the life of the spirit and that of the human mind, at one and the same time, you will see what I mean. The one is inarticulate but transcendentally obedient to divine will, the other is vociferous but its logic is skin deep, for it is not based upon realities. Ayo, do you think this change will come into fulfillment soon? Ayo asked, all eagerness for the answer. Zeros smiled, a smile that seemed to come from deep within him. Ayo, how impatient you are. You get your world in a mess and you want it all straightened out in a moment. The present era is still part of the Dark Ages. The immediate future may be known as that of destruction. the breaking down of powerful defenses erected by the ignorant minds of those who think they can defy omnipotence. There is a deep distrust of anything new that might upset the even tenor of existing life, a tenor that is already broken by unseen causes. That distrust is due to ignorance of the insight and understanding that might be yours, because you pin your faith to material things which you know and can analyze. In proportion to the speed with which this relation filters through into human consciousness sufficiently for a fresh step forward to be taken, so will the perfect moment draw near when the veil of ignorance and misunderstanding may be drawn. A mischievous smile lit the corners of his mouth as he added, "Ao, you can work that sum out for yourself." "Ao," his voice became serious as went on. "Ao, there is of course the possibility that man will still reject the message. And in that case there must be terrible catastrophe. You cannot oppose such a tremendous sweeping power as the will of God, without injury. It is omnipotent and must sweep over the minds of men and women where it is not allowed admission through the free will. The scales of divine justice are absolute and cannot be deflected. Only in time does it seem that they are out of truth, even as a straight reed in the water seems to bend. Warnings of this eventuality have been given from time immemorial and should be heeded. In the highest realm of all prophecy is an exact science, in the realm of perfection where all is known, where there is no chance, no beginning or ending, no time or space. Only as you descend into manifestation and gather the chains of time and space and dimension about you, does prophecy become distorted by what you term chance. And I am nowhere near the top of the scale. So I cannot tell you what will happen. But remember that to the mind of God every event is known and prepared for, even to the falling of a leaf. Ao, but that is only a short-term view. I prefer to take the longer view in which the splendid fight of man against self, the noble against the ignoble, is preordained to succeed. It can be delayed in time, but what is time to creative mind? The consummation is certain, all souls created are to be recovered. That is what matters, and they are not really lost, it only seems to be so. None can be lost for their spirit is at home with God, and they have not the power to sever themselves from their own spirit. Through defiance of the good they separated themselves from it, through suffering they must return, that is the only way. Ao, this renewal of human existence will be astounding and quite beyond the present limits of human understanding. For one thing, man will have to realize that he shares his divinity with all created things, and that includes the animal kingdom. He has taken terrible toll of the animal creation and it has infected his instincts with an animal nature. Not only must he learn to divest himself of this illicit impregnation but must give it back to the animal kingdom through love, thus sharing in the redemptive plan. To a lesser extent he will have to learn to understand the realms of vegetation and the mineral kingdom and to cooperate with them, for they too shared in his fall, thus they will become less crystallized, more loosely knit, with a progressive change in character. Ao, you are aware that there is a vast range of angelic beings, some of them quite elemental in form and intelligence, which will need to be taught to love and be loved by man. Where between them there has only been fear or derision. Without them your natural world could not exist and you could not live. You owe them a deep debt of gratitude for you have imposed upon them an intolerable burden of work, restoring and rectifying that which man has done wrong. Ao, while all this regeneration is going on there will be a progressive elimination of all that is noxious to human existence. The harmful animal life, the poisonous bacteria, the barbs and traps of natural creation, will gradually disappear or change their nature so as to be helpful instead of harmful. The lion will lie down with the lamb in very truth. Ao, overcome with this dazzling prospect, so marvelous that it surpassed the bounds of reason, I made no comment. Yet, I thought, why not? If man is to swing up the ark of his salvation there must be some such transcendent movement. If man's evolution is to take a leap upwards surely his environment must follow suit. Zero's voice broke in upon my thoughts. Ao, I'm telling you this so that you may be prepared for what you are about to witness in future visits. Remember that man is but a perambulating mind. His body is but a vehicle through which he may make contact with his environment. If his mind is to be released from its bondage, it could surely make little progress if it were still to be hampered by a malignant nature, besetting him at every step. There could be no point in it. Man is already growing up and stepping out of the age of authority into the age of reason. It remains now for right values to be substituted for those false ones upon which he has based his reasoning. Creedalism, whether in religion, politics or social economy, must give place to a growing understanding which knows no ceiling. AI asked Zeros how he saw the governments of the world operating in the future. I do not see any sort of world federation coming into being, there would be no need. Federation is a sort of lining up against adversity. Instead there will be, as now, a democratic form of government through enlightened choice. And how can the choice be anything but the right one when men's minds are illumined by truth? Once man realizes what he is and how useless he is in himself, how dependent upon divine guidance, then all difficulties will be removed. There will be no more war. As I have said, none would be prepared to go to war against God. But there will be a colossal ignorance to cope with. There will be much rebuilding to be done, both mental and physical. Instead of your armies warring against each other, they will go forth to war against all that holds man back from gracious living, to tame nature, to teach the people how to live the new life, to inspire and to heal. Yes, it will be a sort of divine theocracy, God governing through the receptive minds of men. For how could man plan for himself better than his Creator, who knows all? Half the troubles of your world would vanish overnight if there was a change of heart due to a new knowledge of what man is. Inevitably there must be loss of human life, due to the fact that the darkness in the hearts of some will not let them face up to the new life, the new brightness. But they will start life anew in other surroundings, for God's love spares none. The key to the new world lies in the words, you and I and my Father are one. Remember those words. Once they are realized, the channel opens right from the source of life, down into the recesses of men's hearts. However far man has fallen, it is not too far for the light to penetrate into the darkness, if only he will permit it to do so. For the Christ of love comes to make captivity captive, thus releasing the soul into the sunshine. I smiled to myself as I said, that is a very different idea of heaven to a state of unalloyed bliss. The idea of static bliss is appalling to a human nature which has had to be endowed with fighting qualities, the demand for action, for speed, for overcoming difficulties. These qualities were essential for a fallen race in order to equip them for the fight against the stranglehold which evil forces had over them. Once that fight is over, the need for such qualities will disappear and other qualities will take their place. When there is no longer any struggle to live, because conditions are so much easier, the contemplative life will replace the life of overcoming. Human existence was never designed to drop to such a low level as is at present displayed. At the outset you have pure spirit, undefiled but inexperienced, not conscious of love because there is no contrast by which to judge it. And at the end of the journey, powered through free will, and supposing there can be an end to such a journey, you have a spiritual being returning to its source, having achieved a triumph of identity and learned to merge that identity with the source, enriched by experience. That mergence is not loss but gain, it is a divine companionship, a unity of being without which life would hold nothing. And now, he went on, are you ready to adventure with me into the future and see how the new world is fashioned out of the old? His words took me unawares. Prepared though I had been, I was so engrossed in the stupendous picture of a transformed world that the prospect of actually seeing some of these prophetic states made my mind reel. I will try, I said Zeros, smiling at my evident confusion, to take you on a visit to your country some hundreds of years hence. You must realize that a great deal will have happened in the meantime which I am not permitted to disclose. There will be changes in land surfaces, natural boundaries will have little importance, while climatic changes will have helped to alter the way of life. You will find big differences. He talked on with the object of calming my natural excitement at the idea of witnessing events which had not yet happened in time. Gradually I came under the spell of that magnetic voice and I felt my mind becoming stilled and empty. My spiritual consciousness became more active and ceased to motivate the senses, refocusing its vision onto a higher level. I ceased to be aware of my physical surroundings and, it seemed as if I had awoken in a foreign land when I opened my eyes again, like emerging from a dream. For some time I was unable to concentrate my faculties. Where was I? Why was I here? Then the familiar shining figure of Zeros emerged from the mists of unconsciousness and I realized what had happened. The thrill of adventure rushed back into my mind and I knew that we had left the past far behind and were now conscious in a future which had not yet happened, a distracting thought. Quickly my gaze swept round over an unfamiliar landscape. We were on the banks of a river, in a town of some sort. The water glittered in the sunlight, with a strange translucence. There were noble buildings on both banks, none of which struck any chord of memory. Functionally they were quite strange to me. Clearly their design held more of aesthetic influence than subservience to utilitarian needs. There was beauty of line and concept and a fine discrimination in color. The banks of the river were lined with trees and gardens, beautifully laid out and stocked with an immense variety of flowers. There could be no smog nuisance here, I mused, as my eyes took in the cleanliness of the pastel shaded materials used in building. My gaze swung away from the river and, I gasped. For at the far end of gently descending terraces, surrounded by gardens and lawns, stood none other than dear old St. Paul's Cathedral, a familiar friend from the past. There could be no doubt about it, for although the fabric had been cleansed from its stains, the venerable pile had an unmistakable air of antiquity. I turned in amazement to my companion. "Ayo, this is indeed the London of the future," I said Zeros in a matter-of-fact tone, as if he might have been describing some model at an exhibition. "Ayo, it is a synthesis of what time will bring forth, constructed by those with vision and knowledge of all the converging trends." I looked about me for people. There were none of the hurrying throngs with which we are familiar. But there were plenty of people about, strolling in the sunshine as on a leisured Sunday afternoon. There was something different about the scene, a sort of unreality to my three-dimensional notions, but then there was indeed a difference in dimension. It was hard to accept that this busy scene had not yet happened in time. The people wore brighter colors than in our own day and their clothes were more in the nature of robes than the close-fitting garments with which we are familiar. I gathered from Zero's running commentary that sex equality had been attained and then transcended by a new and better understanding of what each could contribute to the common good. I pondered over the mighty effort that must have been exerted to bring about these immense changes in an existence which had crystallized over the centuries into a characteristic. And surely it must have been echoed throughout the world. We moved upstream and presently I found fresh evidences of the London I used to know. Westminster Abbey still stood, though its environs too had given way to open spaces. The Tower of Big Ben was still there, but much of the old Houses of Parliament had gone. Nelson still gazed out from the top of his column, guarded by his lions, but the surrounding buildings had all receded, giving place to flowering shrubs. What changes he must have witnessed through the years. Nowhere did we see any sign of dilapidation or drab rows of little houses. Planning seemed to have reached a zenith of imagination, made possible by immense changes in technique. But a part of one street was still under reconstruction and Zeros took me to where a monster machine stood brooding over chaos. It was labeled Disintegrator. Zeros informed me that it used a form of atomic fission to disintegrate used materials into their chemical constituents, and then reassembled them into predetermined matter. To prove his point, there was a mass of pinkish powder at the rear of the machine while at the front was a broad moor into which no doubt the debris was drawn. Leaving London, we travelled far and wide over the country. I wish I had space to relate all that we saw. The old life, with its drab patterns, had disappeared and in its place remained a lovely land as nature made it. Everywhere we found evidences of care and attention to detail, as if these people valued their work highly. There were a few roads but no sign of railways, though in a few cases embankments could still be traced. I suppose the most important changes in the vista were to be found in the layout of the residential areas. Where the cities were less densely populated, the country areas were more in communities than in isolated buildings. Wheat was ripening, but there was little evidence of cattle or other farm animals. Presently we lighted upon a doorway set in a mound, surrounded by orchards. With an amused little smile, Zerose Middledot announced that this was the entrance to a large factory. Bewildered, I followed him down some stairs. I was accustomed to shocks by this time, but I was scarcely prepared for the amazing sight that met our entrance into an immense factory area, lofty and wide. For the whole scene was filled with humming machines, and scarcely an operator was in sight. Here, I thought, was automation at its height. Some sort of machine parts were being made, and I noted how each was machined, gauged, and passed on for further processing without any handling by human effort. Truly, man had mastered the machine at last and was no longer its slave. In no other part of this delectable land did I notice the aroma of holiness than in a hospital we visited. There was a radiance which pervaded its corridors that must surely have been a healing power by itself. The patients seemed to be those suffering from mental strain rather than physical ailments, and indeed Zeros informed me that physical illness was largely disappearing, though mental disease was more difficult to overcome. We entered a cathedral, venerable with age but not one familiar to me. But gone were the trappings of traditional worship, gone were the ancient tombs, while the altar was situated, as in olden days, in the center of the nave. It was covered with cloth of gold, and I felt somehow that from this central position teaching would be given by beings, perhaps not of this world. For one sublime moment I felt that here, at this hallowed spot, the light of the world was in contact with human souls as he had not been since those far-off days in Atlantis. It seems that, having at last come to know the composite nature of their own being and the immaterial nature of their environment, the enlightened men and women of the future had set themselves the task of becoming living examples of the new understanding. That implied a tremendous responsibility and statesmanship, for not all the world was so easily converted. First, the men and women, chosen in great numbers from those nations which were ready for this spiritual conquest of the world, had to set themselves stringent tests to prove their fitness, mentally and morally. Where great armies had stood, armed with the latest in lethal weapons, new armies were recruited, armed and trained with weapons only of reconstruction, of healing, of re-education in the redemption of the natural world which the sin of man had defiled. Then they set forth to the ends of the earth on a divine mission to rescue their fellows from the chains of material thought, helping in the work of making all things new. And as they went they sang songs of praise, such as this workaday world of ours has never heard, filled with the joy of constructive creation. A broken bar, it seems to me that I caught some of the joyful refrains of these songs of the ethers as I opened my eyes once more in my study. Back to the old dreary but lovable city that, as yet, knew not its dramatic and wondrous destiny. Chapter 14, City of the Future. The next occasion of our travels through time and space aroused in me intense excitement, for it was to be to an era when life had assumed such novel features that it had little relation to the one we know and feel to be so enduring. My glimpse of an England to be whetted my appetite for further revelations of what the future might hold in store. On his next visit I asked Zeros how far ahead in time this new adventure would be. He smiled a little ruefully as he replied, "Aoken, you never learn to think outside the limitation of time? Time is such a drag upon the understanding. You must realize that the whole world will have changed in almost every respect. Not only the minds of men but the very atoms and molecules that form matter will have changed their cohesion. Life will be quite out of focus with what you know. Naturally your materialists would ridicule such a thought, they cannot hold a thought of such a speed up in evolution. But then they do not reckon with the infinite power of the Creator, if indeed they concede his existence. His will is not subject to human logic. In the age we are about to visit, the revolutions of the earth will have quickened, the axis will have altered, as will the orbit of your planet. If I were to give you the numbers of years to the era we are about to visit, I should have to do immense calculations, and even then I doubt if the result would have any meaning for you. It would be like trying to get time and timelessness to coincide. Let us instead use a different yardstick and think in terms of progress and fulfillment of an age-old plan thought out by omniscience long before the world was created.